Audrey, what do you think we do? So we don't know what to do, we do nothing. Sometimes that's a good option, a good idea, just do nothing, because sometimes if we try our best to get out, we're going to cause more harm than good, aren't we? Yeah. Can I call you Little Joe? Okay, I'll just call you Joe, and I'm looking at you, so I'm going to talk to you. So what do you think we do when we don't know what to do? What's a good Sunday school answer? Pray to God. Excellent. Fantastic. You're in church. You know what to do. Yeah, so when we don't know what to do, we feel like, man, we're in a cage. I don't know where to go. There's clearly no way. God, what do I do? And he might say, like Audrey said, he might say, well, you know what, just hang tight right now. This isn't the time to leave, but sometimes he might say, I got you. And he might open up a way to get out of there to escape. Other times, it's often when we're in this cage, he wants to do something even in the cage, which doesn't make any sense. But we're in a message series, we're in the book of Philippians, and that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is experiencing. Do you think it'd be fun to be in jail? No, that doesn't sound like fun. Stay out of jail. It's a bad idea. The Apostle Paul, he was in jail. You know why he was in jail? He told people about Jesus. A lot. Yeah, his mouth never stopped going about Jesus, and so that's why he was in jail. But he says that even in jail, man, God was doing good things because he was there. So sometimes it's not fun, it's not comfortable, but God is doing good things because we're in a bad place. And I know that means probably nothing to you right now. But trust me, you'll be there and you'll say, wow, I can't believe what you did there, God. So just hold on to that nugget, put it in your pocket. You'll get there someday. So just go to Jesus when we don't know, I don't know what's going on. This makes no sense. Let's pray and we'll get into our message. Lord, I thank you for the children. I thank you for it only takes that childlike faith. Give us that childlike faith. Help us to trust in you when we don't know what's going on. We feel like we're in a cage. We've lost all control. Guide and direct us in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So like I said, we're in our sermon series. We're looking at the book of Philippians. We just started last week. Today we're going to finish off the rest of the first chapter. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 30. You can follow along in your Bible, or I should have verses up on the screen for you to follow along with. Let me open up my Bible here. Ooh, I may have it bookmarked. It's pretty convenient. But he starts out, Paul, he's incredibly grateful. He's thankful for these people in Philippi. He's thankful that they've been partnering with him in the gospel. And then he's going to continue on this section. I know verse 21 is to live as Christ, to die is gain, but I believe this whole section, these 28 verses, all center around this key fact. In fact, all of our lives should center around that fact that to live is Christ. And that can be kind of a tricky, what does that mean to live as Christ? Well, it can mean all my motivations, whatever I'm trying to do, Lord, it's for you. I'm putting you first. We know that the greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second one, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So putting God first, I'm going to, whatever it's for him, whatever Jesus would do, he's going to be first in my life. And then we know that from that, we're going to see six different things, six fruit that are produced from it. The last one I do not like, most of you do not like, but it's a wonderful fruit. So Paul is going to say here in these 28 verses, man, so if I have a life that to live is Christ, what am I going to see? I'm going to see advancements in the gospel. If my life is completely and fully living for Christ, we're going to see advancements for the gospel. We're going to see what some fruit, well, God is going to be first in what I do. It's naturally, if my living is Christ, well, his life was certainly with God first, so God is certainly going to be first in our lives. We're going to have hope. If I'm living for Christ, if everything is about him, man, there's just going to be this blessed, blessed hope. Then what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be others before self. We see the great commandments there, God and others. So I'm going to put others before self, just like Jesus did. Remember in that garden, he prayed, take this cup away from me. But Father, not my will, yours be done. Our lives, if we live for Christ, we're going to be a living testimony. It's hard to get away from that. Whether people recognize that or not, That's between them and the Lord, but we're going to be a living testimony for the Lord. And then finally, because Paul included it, there's going to be suffering. If I'm fully living for Christ, there is going to be suffering. Jesus died because he lived fully for God. We have the Apostle Paul imprisoned. Well, what do they say? Basically, all 12 of these apostles, they were crucified. We see Stephen, he was, if you remember back in the book of Acts, he was set apart as a deacon. He wasn't the ones set aside for the prayer, and we're going to put first the gospel, but hey, take care of the people. But his life was so close with God. What was he doing? He was sharing the gospel. And was he not the first martyr? This person, so we can't just separate, well, my job is to help the body be healthy. We can't separate the body of Christ from the lost out in the world. There's going to be suffering if we're going to live for Christ. And that's the one I don't like. I'm not sure about you all, but that's usually where I buckle. So let's dive right in here. We have a lot of verses to cover, and let's go for it. First, let me pray for our time. Lord, may you illuminate your words to our hearts. It's your Holy Spirit we want to hear from. Lord, may you give each of us where we need to be, where we need to hear from you. May you speak deeply into our hearts because we've gathered together this morning as your church. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Is my clicker thingy working? Were you helping me out while I was going, or was it just catching up? Okay. Well, we're here. We've landed. So we start out here, verse 12, that Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, remember, being in prison, being in that cage, well, it wasn't really a prison, but anyways, because he was imprisoned for sharing the gospel, it's really served to advance the gospel. I want you guys to know this. So it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. That I was in prison, I was locked up. You can look at Acts chapters 20 through 24. It starts in 20. Man, he's preaching the gospel. The Jews are getting all riled up because that's what they do when they hear the truth about God and with Jesus. And so they go. They're about ready to kill the man. The Romans intercede. They detain him. And then he just gets locked up and moved around and around and around. But it's not because he's a bad guy. It's not because he's a robber. He's a thief. He's doing whatever. Man, he's just preaching Jesus. It's known to everybody. And he says, and most of the brothers, verse 14, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So most of us, if we're imprisoned, our focus is going to be, how do I get out of this cage? Is it not? Let me fight this thing. Let me do whatever I can to, let's avoid this current suffering predicament. Paul takes the opportunity. Hey, this is great. I got unbelievers chained to me 24/7. Guess what they're going to hear? They're going to hear some Jesus, aren't they? He's going to run his mouth about God. And so the whole imperial guard, people are coming to Christ. And then so as the folks from the Philippian church and other folks are coming to minister to him, they're seeing the great fruit. They're seeing that this man is so, man, his life is for Christ. Wow, this is great. This is awesome. What's keeping me back? They're encouraged that even in incarceration, the gospel is going forward. So as free men and free women, why wouldn't they be emboldened? And so they said, they're much more bold to speak the word without fear. If things are advancing for Paul. And so how encouraging is this? This is pretty awesome. This great fruit of the imprisonment. Advancing the gospel. It doesn't end there. This second is for what happens to live as Christ. God first, there's this humility with Paul. He says, talking about, this is great. You guys are preaching the word. You're fantastic, he says, but some indeed preach the word, preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. That's pretty crazy to think. Who shares the gospel out of envy and rivalry? That's pretty wacky. I guess it happens. I'm not sure. Has anybody actually seen that in their life? Because they're jealous of another ministry? Okay. I guess it still happens. I'm not saying this is a lie. I'm not going against Paul, but that just seems wacky. He said, some preach Christ from envy and rivalry, others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love. And the goodwill, that they're motivated by love. No, I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. So we have these two groups. Those are, of course, you know, anytime, Paul, he's not trying to make a name for himself, but he's having great impact. There's going to be people jealous. And there's going to be people, whatever's going on. I'm sure when you have a big ministry, there's people who, they look down on it, they poo-poo it, they all sorts of things. That's our human nature. Well, they must be doing something wrong. So we're gonna spread the gospel to show how much better we are than them. But these folks, they're trying to be the hands and feet, the extension of Paul, the extension of Jesus. I do it knowing that I'm here at defense of the gospel. The former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking of, to afflict me in my imprisonment, that somehow Paul will be jealous because, man, these rivals, these enemies of him, they're bearing fruit. That's a pretty spiritual, immature position to have. Man, we're going to get Paul here. But I love verse 18. Paul says, but what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. He says, I don't care what your motivation is. If you want to make me look bad, fine. Make me look bad because people are coming to Christ. That's great. People are coming to Christ. They're great, these people, they want to help me, they want to build whatever ministry I've, the Lord has started through me. This is great. He doesn't care. This is all about God first. It's not about his name. Paul's name means nothing. It's just humility. It's easy to get worked up when folks aren't doing your thing your way. And it can be easy for us to get wrapped up in our evangelistic differences and preferences and motivation. We all have, when I go to evangelistic situation, what I've been trained with, that's the first thing that flows out. And so it could be easy for all of us. We have our different preferences. We have our different ways. There's, way of the master, Roman road, four spiritual laws, good news, bad news. There's all sorts of different methods to share the gospel of Christ. And it's easy to get worked up over this is the right way, or this is everything else is wrong, or I'm right, you're... That's silliness. In fact, I have a difference of opinion. Wayne and I were talking this. I disagree with the Christian Missionary Alliance. They put, I think it was on our wall here somewhere. Anyways, it's been taken down. Matthew chapter 24. So they have, we're going to bring back the king. If we can just share the gospel to all the people, then once every tribe, tongue, and nation has Jesus, then Jesus will come back. I don't know. I don't believe their motivation is just simply, let's get this over with so Jesus can come back. But I disagree with, I think that's scriptural taken out of context. It's talking about the end times. These Matthew 24, 25, 26 chapters. Would I break fellowship with the Alliance over because of this? No, they're putting forth the gospel. Whether, I don't know, I could be wrong. We need to hold that up as well. I could be wrong in my thing, but to get wrapped up in motivation is silly. If people are coming to Christ, then God is glorified and honored in that. Third part, to live as Christ. There's hope in that. Could you go to the next slide for me, please? I need to get an extender. Live as Christ, verse 19 through 21, he says, you know what, I will rejoice in this. Looking back at those previous verses, for I know that through your prayers and the help of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. So remember, he's in prison, he's incarcerated, and he says, no matter whatever happens, this is going to turn out for my salvation. And I don't believe Paul is looking at just, I'm going to be freed, God's going to open up the back door, and I'm going to be gone. No, he's looking in the end. Man, I'm going to be delivered from all this nonsense when Jesus is reigning as king. So, but your prayers, the help of the Holy Spirit, is going to keep me persevering, keep me going forward. Verse 20 is my eager expectation, hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. This is what he's expecting. This hope, remember, Christian hope is not, well, I hope Hurricane Sally doesn't hit Panama City. Yeah, that'd be a nice thing to hope for. I hope that Sally goes away and does nothing. We have a no-so hope in Christ. This is our hope. We can long and expect it. He expects, I'm not going to be ashamed. My life was given for the gospel. I'm not going to be ashamed of that when I sit before Christ. So please keep those prayers. Verse 19, Holy Spirit, keep helping me so that way I can keep pushing forward no matter where I am. Christ will be honored in my body, whether life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whatever he does, it's for Christ. I think it'd be hard-pressed to find a man or a woman who was more about Christ than the Apostle Paul was. And he continues his thought on in verse 22. It's not liking me. Becca, if I can get the next slide for me, please. He says, the love of Christ, he's putting others before self. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. So he's saying, because clearly we're going to be alive somewhere, whether we're alive here on earth or as new creations of Christ, we'll be alive in heaven. But he says, hey, there's going to be fruitful labor for me, bringing forth the gospel to these folks. Yet which I choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two, as if it's his choice whether he's executed or not. He says, my desire is to be with Christ, for that is far better. Wouldn't it be far better to be removed from all the nonsense, the shenanigans going on in this world? It'd be a lot more comfortable. But he says, verse 24, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Man, even in prison, they're being encouraged, they're being emboldened for their faith. So he says, you know what? Just like Jesus in the garden, take this cup away from me. Paul here has a similar, I'd rather be with Jesus in heaven, but this is going to be better. Serving you all. He has that proper perspective. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, to keep you going, to keep on developing you as disciples, keep on multiplying you all. So in me you may have ample hope, ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So he's the one, I come to you, man, it's going to be great. Look what the Lord has done. He's delivered you. Clearly there's more work to be done. So he sees their needs as greater and superior than others. Next slide. To live is Christ, being a living testimony. Verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Let how you live, is this worthy of the gospel? Is how we're living our life, is this worthy that Jesus died on the cross to give me this? Would he be so proud that... look what you're doing with your life. I'm so glad I died on the cross. It's more than just that tick into heaven, the eternal life. But how are we living today? Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. Obviously, we're imperfect and fall short so many times. Paul himself called himself the chief of all sinners. But he says, I want to hear you're standing firm in one spirit, not the spirit of Satan, the different dividing spirits going on, but you're standing firm in one spirit, the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, corporately you guys are living as Christ with one mind, not divided about our personal differences, our personal agendas, our personal control issues, our personal whatever. But we're staying firm side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. He's able to speak from a pretty good spot, being put in prison because of his opponents. He says this is a living testimony. It's a clear sign to them of their destruction. Man, you're thriving. There's joy. There's peace. There's patience. There's all this wonderful stuff, even though they're doing these horrible things to you. Why? How can that be? This is a clear sign of their destruction and of your salvation from God. He wants them to have this good conscience. And finally, to live as Christ is suffering. Actually, can we skip that one? I don't like suffering. No, we'll do it. It's in the Bible. We shouldn't skip verses. But there's going to be suffering as a fruit of living for Christ. If we go to the next slide, verse 29, it says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Jesus told his disciples, you got to count the cost. If you really want to be my disciple, you got to count the cost. It's going to cost you something, but we're going to have to suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now here that I still have. To live as Christ is going to be a suffering life. And as humans, it's natural for us to be self-protective. Our first reactions are to avoid all the suffering, everything that goes with it. Is that not true of us? Yeah, who likes suffering? But we've got to believe that these truths are really true. When these truths about the gospel, when they penetrate deeply, they change and transform our lives. Well, my commentary said this: suffering for Christ was not to be considered accidental or divine punishment. Paul referred to a kind of suffering that was really a sign of God's favor. The Greek word translated "granted" is derived from a word that means grace or favor. So it's believing on Christ and suffering for him are both associated with God's grace, whether we believe that or not. Man, what's happening in this suffering? We're drawing closer to God. We're becoming more and more like him. The kingdom is going forward. It's divine grace that we get to be a part of the gospel going forward. There will be suffering. I'll tell you what. Of all these six, and I'll give you all an opportunity to think about these. Of all these six things going on, if we can get the next slide. Ooh, it actually worked for me. But tell us, the suffering, that's what keeps me from sharing the gospel when I know I ought to. I don't like rejection. I don't like, in Panama City, the most suffering I'm going to get, the most I could fathom is maybe getting punched in the face. And that's the most, I'm not even sure that would even happen here in the Bible Belt. Maybe if I do something really stupid to somebody who's maybe high or drunk or whatever, I don't know. But I don't even think that that's going to happen. There's going to be pretty mild suffering. Yet I shy away from it. The rejection, the whatever. I'm just being realistically. I'm not sure where you all stand with this. What are these? To have a Christ, a lifestyle to live as Christ. Anything that's holding you all back? Is there anything that God's calling you to, or saying, man, there's just an area where I fall short here? Is your back okay? Okay. So in a moment, unbeknownst to Janice, she's going to come up here and play some music for you all. And we're just going to have a time of reflection, a time of prayer. And there's going to be three things we're going to pray through. I will guide us through that. But just looking at these areas for advancing the gospel, putting God first, hope, others before self, a living testimony, suffering. Man, this is what to live as Christ looks like. That lifestyle, I think we can see that in Paul. So we're starting, which of these areas does God want me to address? We're going to start out in prayer for that. And then the second one, of course it doesn't want to work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Can I get two more clicks, please? So we're going to start out looking at ourselves. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do I need to change in order to have a life that is for Christ? And then number two, I want us to pray for a brother and sister. Somebody here, pick out somebody right now, or a couple somebody's. Pray for them that, man, that their heart will be set on fire, their life. Man, that they are consumed by to live as Christ. That they won't be ashamed, but full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in their body. And then one more click for me, please. We're going to pray for the lost. So who do you know? You should know somebody. If you remember at the beginning of the year, before COVID was a thing for us, we put up this list of names over here. Pray for God to draw them. The one, two, three people, if there's somebody up there or not up there, pray for them. But we want to pray that God would use us, that God would draw them. So like I said, so Janice, you wouldn't mind coming up here. We'll spend a few minutes, 3 to 5 minutes in prayer. And I'll just guide us through. We're going to start out right now, just reflection. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to address? What's holding me back? Living this life. So just spend some time in prayer. What area does God want me to address? What's holding me back? And now let's transition to pray for another brother or sister in Christ, that they would have that heart, that body, that lifestyle, that, and they're living for Christ. They're on fire for Him. Lift up those around you. And now let's lift up those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. They might be nice people, good people, but right now they're spiritually lost. We have a whole wall full of them. Let's lift up those who do not know Jesus. Lord, draw them to Yourself. Lord, I pray that You would help us as a church to put You first in everything. Lord, may we be characterized as people that say to live is Christ, to die is gain. Transform our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Worship the Lord, whether you're on your feet, on your knees, or... All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, His presence daily. I surrender all.
Lord, we do surrender everything. Help us to want to surrender everything to you, knowing that you're going to do far more greater than we could ask or think or even imagine. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.